Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Really, WC. Is Christmas Jones a rarity for me that, like, lots and lots of Bond lady actresses sort of cash in on this forever? Like, and, you know, Tanya Roberts is an example that she still does weekly or monthly appearances on social media as Bond girl Tanya Roberts, whereas Denise Richards is never mentioned in that category, ever. Yeah. Why is that? I mean, I know that the character wasn't especially well received, and I think possibly the worst bit about the character is actually the puns at the end. I think they're like the literal coffin nails for the character, actually. But
your words are onto us straight away. You thought this is a believable character? No.
Purvis and Wade.
Boobies and Wade. I think for.
That's the highbrow comment. We're
it really for. Is. Sorry, babyish. Very baby.
Dear. I hope you're listening.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I'm sure he'll agree.
Yeah.
She won a Razzie, yeah, for this. I don't know whether any other Bond actors would. Yeah. Worst.
You're only as good as the material you're given, and she's not given very good material. So,
surely go on, Halle Berry won a Razzie.
She must.
Yeah, I think they did. Surely. This was before, though. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Right. Okay.
She was also not. Her and Pierce Brosnan were nominated for worst screen couple. Do you know who they lost out to? This is hilarious. This is brilliant.
In 1999,
a huge, you know, massive film star, never had a flop or anything. A buddy Western.
Oh, Will Smith.
Yeah.
No, sorry, that was earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Kevin Kline.
Yeah, I love that worst screen couple.
You know, who was the partner?
The Razzie, yeah, the Razzie was awarded worst screen couple that year. Will Smith and Kevin Kline from Wild Wild West, Wicker.
Yeah.
Denise Richards, she'd been in Starship Troopers, obviously, is probably the most famous role. You know,
she was good in that.
She was, yeah, because that sort of film's a bit. It's quite deliberately cheesy, isn't it? Paul Verhoeven. You've got to buy into that.
Yeah.
The sort of mood of it, and she does a good job. She'd been in Wild Things, which is a pretty interesting film, basically nudity and twists. That's the whole film, isn't it, pretty much? But
yeah. And Kevin Bacon's Winkle Picker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Good grief. It's like it's a bit sexist, this film, man. There's an unnecessary lesbian scene. I'll just put Kevin Bacon's cock in it and it'll be equalizing.
Equalized. Like a late draw.
Like in Gone Girl, like, was that Ben Affleck's knob. What? You know, what on earth is going on here?
Oh dear.
Yeah, anyway. But like Richard's dialogue is either telling you stuff about bombs and chemicals, or stuff that I don't really understand. Like the glimmer stuff, I think is terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Are you looking for a glimmer? I mean, what does that even mean? Are you talking about? Are you looking for a copy of a VHS copy of The Glimmer Man with Steven Seagal? If so,
what a film!
Can I send you to the video shop down the road?
It's got funnier lines than garbage. Those lines.
It's terrible.
Just to go back to Denise Richards' filmography. She has just released a new film called Money Plane, featuring Kelsey Grammer and Edge from WWE.
Oh my god.
So good. We actually looked at the trailer on For Your Reconsideration. It's just, I mean,
oh my word.
You can't.
Just
you can't argue with that.
Money Train and Snake Plane.
I wonder if he
has a copy. Oh my god.
Who's got a top knot? And look, someone's got a top knot on the front.
It's Edge. It's Edge, man.
Look at
it. Oh, it's Edge, sorry.
It's got the casino going on and everything.
It's very bad. Yeah. Oh, dishy. Love it.
It's not my copy. A friend lent it to me.
It's flat. Absolutely no shame, John. No shame.
They won't be getting it back.
Hi, Jan.
Is it fitted like into the Bond collection in place of the Craig? No, sorry, right. That's a reference to an older joke.
It's gone next to Final Score featuring Dave Bautista and Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, which I have seen.
Oh, is it any good?
It's okay. It's all right.
It's probably the lowest of the low for Pierce Brosnan.
I think genuinely,
he's the best thing in it.
I'm going to ask you. You know, when we've finally seen No Time to Die in 2027. I'm going to ask you, which was better, Money Plane or No Time to Die? I want a straight answer.
I haven't seen No Time to Die, but I can tell you which one was more enjoyable, and it wasn't No Time to Die.
Oh! We have
we just better than the different yours question. Yet. So Denise Richards.
Yeah,
she was babyish.
Someone tampered with the bomb. Oh, that's late.
Very good. Yeah, she was always on top of the FHM Maxim list, wasn't she, at the time? She was famous for her marriage to a certain somebody. Rob, can you remember?
Yeah.
A very volatile marriage.
Very much so.
Oh, Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, Carlos Estevez.
Indeed, yeah.
Yes.
Quite harrowing, I think, in the end. It's,
yeah,
they were in Spin City together, which was very underrated comedy, brilliant comedy. Two and a Half Men, she was briefly in that, and Scary Movie 3. So they shared those films together.
I wonder whether Denise Richards might have had a fairer go if she, and I really want this to come out the right way, if she didn't look the way she did. You know, she's very attractive
in the film.
And very sort of no, just generally in
her career, sort of. Yeah.
She, in a very broad brushstroke, she's very pin-up, isn't she? You know.
That must get you
types high school, all sorts of positions.
Yeah, cheerleader.
Yeah. She's the fantasy character, isn't she? Really.
Yeah.
Whereas you know, I think she was brilliant. I genuinely think she was really good in Starship Troopers.
Mm.
So. And from that, you know, we could have, who knows, you could have blossomed wherever, but it turns out, you know, that Hollywood had a place for her, and I feel like she's been chewed up and spat out. I don't think the Charlie Sheen thing helped at all. That's I don't think he helped himself at all. and she's a victim of the machine a little bit here. Obviously, I don't know anything about Denise Richards. This is a massive generalisation.
No, I think you're right, Rob.
Yeah,
really double so your premier source for Hollywood. But I do think she should have had a fairer whack.
Yeah, and in this, going back to what we were saying before about the character, because Elektra's character is so central to the plot and almost the biggest advert for this being more than just any old Bond film is Elektra's character. That's isn't it? So against that, you've got to have another Bond girl, and her in the other films, she would be the secondary Bond girl, so she'd be in the first half of the film until she's sort of done away with, and then he meets, you know, a bit like in Live and Let Die. You know, Solitaire is always going to be the main Bond girl, but Rosie Carver's there along the way. Nothing to do with Elliot Carver. I'll always make that joke. Don't know why anybody else doesn't seem to get that connection. Two Bond girls then with the same surname, but what are the chances? Bit poor, that, isn't it?
I was going to say Elliot Carver isn't a Bond girl, but yeah, sorry, Paris.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he is a bit.
Yeah, Jonathan Pryce was a Bond girl.
What I was saying was, she cannot be a bigger character. She can't be a big character like John was alluding to. There's no room for her.
You're right.
Be a big character.
No, so absolutely.
They're in that difficulty where she's there. They've got to fence her into the plot somehow. So she's some kind of expert, isn't she, with a pipeline? But I mean, you know, I'm not saying she's not believable as that because of the way she looks, but the way it's sort of done and the way it's delivered is not particularly authentic. And then somehow at the end, even though Bond's had perhaps his biggest ever crush on a woman since Tracy, we've then got to just sort of think, oh, he might as well just get off with her at the end, when there's not really been any... He's not been bothered about her, has he?
No,
it's
true.
Never once. It's funny that, you know, a character director couldn't manage to squeeze more out of Christmas Jones than just...
You see what they have to work with.
It's
difficult math,
I just don't think there was much room for anyone else, and she, like, you know, it's mainly exposition and a sort of tag on Bond girl so that he's left with a, you know, a happy ending with a pun.
I think
this is the possibly the first signs of Purvis and Wade's shortcomings. I think this film has been very much like, you know, Michael Apted has polished it through, and I think it's Purvis and Wade on their best behaviour. But there's no doubt that this character has been written with the name Christmas Jones, so you can make that childish remark at the end of the film. That is the sole reason why she is called that. And I bet they sat themselves up in their little brat pad, thinking, oh, that's a great joke, that lad's it. We're one of the boys here, you know. But as I said, I run with it because you're not asked to invest anything.
No, I agree. I love that idea that, you know, because, and I'd never thought about this, that, because I always thought she was really unnecessary, but then you're left with possibly, you know, if she's not there, you're left with a coda to the film after Elektra's dead, where Bond doesn't get the girl, he doesn't get anything, he just goes home, which would be fascinating, by the way. I'd love to see Pierce Brosnan go home. Can you imagine Brosnan in a lovely jumper and herringbone pants walking a couple of spaniels at the end with wellies on?
Yeah.
You know, just instead of doing any of that, he's just walking the dog, like, we did a good job, boys. And I also understand this, that, like, certain people that go to Bond films, I would imagine, you know, like, by the end, you know, when you're expecting a certain thing, it's like that bit from American Pie, you know, with Stifler. And it's like, you know, Tom, please take this out, but it's a bit like, you know, like, when all said and done, it's like, where are the fucking females? You know?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And Denise Richards is very American Pie era, so it links it in quite well.
Very American Pie era.
Yeah, you could if it was a more sort of somber, downbeat ending, you could have had Bond. They would have done it with the Craig era, wouldn't you? Like, he was sort of depressed about the demise. It might have been quite effective. You know, just in some sort of Scottish pub with a whiskey, with, I don't know, some kind of emblem of Elektra's that he kept. I don't know, but it wouldn't have worked when you've got all these...
It doesn't seem quite right for Pierce Brosnan and everything, I don't know.
No,
it's not right for Pierce Brosnan. And it's even though it's got a serious element, there are still a lot of campy act bits in this film. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It does have to have that formula bit. It doesn't work otherwise.
Yeah.
Pierce has to win the lady. It's simple as that.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird because it's, at the same time, it's quite an original Bond film that goes a bit further. But it's also, on paper, it's actually a classic Bond film with all the boxes ticked in terms of the essential elements that people, the audience, who couldn't care less about, you know, the characters and the developments and all that. They get everything they want as well. But we will, yeah, we will, you know, do our conclusions when it's time. So, yeah.
Ready to deliver, honestly.
If you're enjoying Really 007, why not follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram? Look us up at Really007Pod.
Renard just appears, doesn't he, in the pipeline. And I think, I don't know, Matthew, whether you're alluding to this, this sort of whole scene's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit of a waste of, Renard, and a bit of a, it's basically the lull of the film, I'd say. It's probably you just lose a little bit of interest, maybe. For me, I'm sorry, John, I don't know.
I think you're trapped in this quite pressing sort of set. It's...
Go on, Matthew.
I'd say, just to correct you, sorry, Tom. It's not the pipeline, it's like a nuclear bunker, because that's where they're getting nuclear bomb from, I think. I presume that's what they're doing. They're stealing a nuclear bomb, really, aren't they? Or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. In some ways, I don't think it's the set. It shouldn't be that bad, but in some ways it seems quite small and quite, like, I don't know.
Limiting.
Yeah, and... The action, there are one or two decent beats, but it's not groundbreaking, I wouldn't say. You get Bond meeting Renard, and, you know, nothing wrong with what Brosnan and Carlyle are doing. But you probably were expecting a bit more, having had the introduction to Renard before, and you're thinking, whoa, when Bond comes up against him, my word, what's going to happen? And then he sort of... Bond's able to, like, drag him around and drag him to his knees. And to be fair, there's some, you know, Renard is taunting him quite a bit, which is good. And,
broke her in for you. PG.
It's
a 12 minute.
And of course, Renard says there's no point, you know, no point living if you can't feel alive, and then pushes his shoulder down, which are obviously important story points.
Pressure.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Tom. I don't think it's that great an action scene, and I don't think it's a great, it's not that bad, I'm not saying it's really bad or anything, but it's just not quite that memorable, and I think they could have done better with the Bond and Renard setup.
Yeah, I think I do like the closing doors. It's very Indiana Jones.
Yes,
that's class. That's really good.
Yeah, in, yeah, almost that, like into
the explosion being sort of held in, but Bond's not really, like, he's not proactive in that. He's just holding on to some, like, like kiddie seatbelt straps that seem to be hanging from the ceiling so he can get there quick enough. So it's not really Bond doing anything at that point. He's just hoping he gets there. But, you know, I mean, I've got... Again, it's fun. I mean, this is all way more fun than anything that is to come in this series up to the present day.
Yeah. I'm just... After the sort of... So far, up until now, I've been like, this is just... Yeah. I love it. You know, I'm just... Everything's done perfectly, pretty much. The characters are introduced perfectly. We've had some crisp action. We've had really intriguing characters. We've had the snow, had the casino scene, had the gadgets and everything. And I don't know. It's just... It's too. There's too much to do with pipelines and confined in caves. And it's just... For me, I don't know. Doesn't quite live up to the rest of the film.
I mean, that's fair, Tom. I mean, you know, I can see where you're coming from with that. Absolutely. I think that this, to me, is the turning point of the film in terms of you start to see.
No, sorry.
No, I personally disagree with that, but, like, you know, it's not. How do I say this? You start to see who Renard really is, and he is not the absolute mad villain that we were told about at the start of the film. He's a terrorist, he's a scumbag, but he's just a thug who's doing somebody else's work. And you see the reveal with Brosnan and the point in living if you can't feel alive.
That's great.
But then they come down and he goes and he gets thrown a gun and he just goes full Zorin. He just decides, he just absolutely wipes everyone out. And I'm like, and he looks like he is enjoying it as well, big time. Like, he has got a big grin on his face when he's doing it. And I think that that is the only way, because you said he's so small, that is the only way that you can actually project him being a violent menace. Because he's not going to go around beating everyone up because he's 5'2" or whatever he is. So that's the only way he can do it. I do like the action in it. I do think it's a bit computer gamey. I think especially the bit where he's pushing the missile and he's hiding behind it, or pushing whatever it is he's behind while they're shooting. It's very much like something you'd find on Tomb Raider at that time. It's you know, you use the Resident Evil, like you'd push something while shooting behind it. I feel it's quite computer gamey at this moment. I don't think Michael Apted's strength is action. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But I actually...
Sam Mendes, Skyfall. It's just same again, isn't it?
well, there is that. But I do really like it. I haven't got a problem with it again. But I think a lot of it is it feels Bond because of the score that's going on and behind it.
Yeah,
I think David Arnold does a massive job on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Unless I do agree, the actual confrontation, I'm interested in that, between Brosnan and Renard is really good. A little unnecessary shoulder the responsibility. Like, why would Renard be doing the same puns as everybody else? You know, it's just because the scriptwriters love them doesn't mean every character has the same sense of humour. Anyway, that's a complaint about films in general. I do think it's good. I think they've got a good rapport. Shooting something like that, like the Zorin scene, it's you need those scenes. We said about Skyfall, we needed more of that. We needed, because we do think Raoul Silva's pure evil at some stage, at the start we do, but we never really see him do anything that bad. We know he's done bad stuff, but we don't actually see it. And in order to convey that, you do need something like this, as much as, again, it's quite shocking for kids watching this.
Yep.
But it, you know, I'm not saying it is a children's film. Well, this certainly isn't after what we've been discussing, but... The recall of the phrase "there's no point living," I love all that. I think that's great. It was actually earlier than I thought in the film. I thought it was quite a later reveal. But from then on, there's a good 20-30 minutes where you're still not absolutely sure that she is a baddie. You probably think she is, and Bond's one step ahead. Like you say, he's one step ahead of M and everybody else. So that I think that's quite good as well. It isn't just heck, 1 second suddenly that's it. You've always got that lurking sense that she might be, there's something a bit more, which is more effective, I think. We've got a great shot, of course, when the gunshot cracks the glass where Reynolds' head is, which is superb. I think, sorry, Matt, go on.
I was going to say, didn't they do that again in Spectre when he catches up with with Blofeld, with his brother, and he shoots and, you know, there's the bullet mark in the glass directly where it would be in the head. But I think it's really good here. I like it.
Yeah.
Because the artwork for Spectre had the glass going into the Spectre logo, so they had to...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Sorry, no, I'm just...
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Brosnan is absolutely loving the action here, isn't he? Swinging on these ropes, shouting, and it's just so Brosnan... How Brosnan is even the Bond. James Bond. It's just...
Yeah.
James Bond. pure cheese, absolute pure cheese.
Yeah, it is.
Wouldn't change it for the world.
Yes.
sums up the Brosnan era.
I like it.
The cheese is enough.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
His investment sells it. His investment.
Yeah.
If he was somehow begrudging of it, like, this has been easy, then it wouldn't work. But he's...
Ooh. Well, sounds I awesome. Think something that Chris mentioned a couple of times is that, you know, are some of Daniel Craig's films, and I don't want this to go down a Craig-bashing thing or anything, but sometimes they're almost, like, embarrassed to be Bond films, so they don't really want to have some of the essential elements and everything. And I think something like this, no, we want him to have a Bond James Bond moment.
Even if he's already done it once.
Well, yeah. In a different kind of way. In the middle of an action set piece.
Yeah.
He's introducing himself. Yeah. I like it. I like it. Yeah.
Compared to the No Time to Die trailer, the James Bond.
Oh.
Anyway. So depressing. So, they escape. They feast. No, they somehow get out of there, don't they? Is it like a shot of a plane or something?
Yeah, it's
it all
nice
merges
shot.
Into one for me.
It's lovely.
I can't quite remember the order.
It tracks, I think, Renard on the plane getting away.
Yeah.
And then you see the rest blowing up. It's not, sadly, as good, but very little is. You know, the start of GoldenEye when the plane... and the whole facility blows up and then... Dun, 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 dun. I mean, that sends shivers down my spine just thinking about it.
The other one I have is like because of the desert as well with the fire in the plane. I get touches of License to Kill in terms of the tanker chase, like the fire, with the plane going off.
Very true.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh.
Adrenaline of Colombian dirt.
In the tankers.
Yeah. Subtitles.
But we had a deal with the Orientals. Our money.
Very good.
Anthony Stark, we love you.
Yeah.
Oh, do we? Please good come match. On.
Yeah.
Please come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
We will do.
Share your amazing experiences.
Please.
So we get back turning to Scotland. Overhead. Turning over. Yeah. We have a Skype call from Electra in Scotland. I don't know why, you know, it's unusual in a Bond that they go back to the same location, and I think in the making of it, certainly Purvis and Wade mentioned this, that most Bond films, I have been doing my research, that most Bond films sort of lead towards the climax, in terms of it's getting more and more exciting to the final bit. This is a bit different because it goes a bit more like the more recent ones where you don't quite get the big finish because you think it's all over and then it isn't. They obviously go back quite early to Scotland, and then it's another crisp scene with M, and she basically wants M as bait. And I don't know, it wasn't immediately obvious then still, was it, that, oh no, well, she's obviously doing this. I mean, Bond's missing, of course, at the moment, isn't he?
He is. This is just before he comes back and they have that whole, you know, snarky little scrap. Drop the act. Yeah, lovely man. Lovely.
Drop the act.
I don't understand. Like, so she appeals to M directly to come to Baku. That's where it is, isn't it? It's Baku, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's taken me 21 years to nail that. So. The fact that everyone still is insisting on calling her M, M, will you come?
Personal connection to her.
Why are you calling her that? I don't understand, you know. Your families go way back. You know, why don't you... You know, Judy, will you come?
Judy.
It happens later on, like, you know, like Electra. When she's in the house, like, M, like, so when you were a kid and your dad had M round to dinner, were you like, M, can you pass the cheese?
Right. That's a bit of a giveaway.
No, what? M.
Very cute. Emma, short for Emma, so it's fine.
But again, it's the Bond movies, it's fine.
You know? Yeah.
I would feel weird if someone playing... Although, actually, if it was Bernard Lee or lovely Admiral Hargreaves, I would be concerned if they didn't... You know, no, I'd love it if they didn't call him in, like, well, Bob, I don't think we're...
Because
that would make me think, like... Miles. So, yeah, exactly, in this scene, perhaps, I would be way more... Tarquin, I feel like we need to... Your selection of Bollinger here from Harrods is poor.
It's a great point, Rob. It's something I hadn't thought of.
No.
It's strange that she wouldn't refer to her as...
I think it would add to their backstory betrayal as well, if she called her by her real name.
Yeah.
And can you imagine in the cinema, the audience, like, if she was called something like... Listen, Janet, you know, like, and it'd be like, oh.
Screams, yeah.
Yeah.
Like when Inspector Morse, like when Inspector Morse revealed that his name was Endeavour.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, you I don't, can you imagine someone at the back?
Dad, it was like breaking news.
Bumper, like,
yeah. Massive.
Yeah.
Like, in the cinema, screaming. Oh!
People fainting had to be let out, you know.
Yeah. Similar worse to than when the Exorcist came out.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah.
Dragging bodies out. Like.
Oh, wow.
John, I'm going to have to cross-reference another of our favourite films, Quantum of Solace, here, because we complained about in the M episode that, of course, M, what on earth is she doing following Bond to all the locations, making it pointless and really dangerous to send your boss all over the world. At least she's got a good reason in the plot here, and at least Bill Tanner tries to stop her.
So this is a really great point. This, it really works, because she's not doing this out of a sense of duty. She's doing this because of the emotional ties, and she's taking that in.
Yeah.
And when I first watched this, I thought this was phenomenal. I thought it was brilliant. The problem is that, as we've seen with every single Bond film since, Purvis and Wade don't have another trick with them. They genuinely don't.
Yeah.
They don't know how to write the character of M now. Like, so you've got Mallory now, and they're scared of just taking it back to being just a normal M who's behind the desk and contacts Bond. They have to give this backstory.
He's in a pub now, isn't he?
And throughout the... Yeah, exactly. And it's like, throughout the Judi Dench years, they couldn't let it go. And it's like, it's really frustrating, because here... it's perfectly logical and part of the plot. And then the next film, we see her in the DMZ with Michael Madsen. For what reason are you there with that? Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like they are completely clueless as what to do with them apart from send her out in the field.
Yeah. It's partly because they know Judi Dench, they've got a really good actress. So they've just like, we've got to use her. We've really got to use her. And it'd be so odd, wouldn't it, in a sense, having that talent and just a little exposition scene at the beginning. So I think that's the thinking about it. But if that's the character for the plot...
I completely agree.
Sorry.
No, I completely agree with you that you've got a brilliant actress with Dame Judi Dench, but it's terrible writing that the only way that you can think of using her is by sending her out in the field in every single one of her films. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can have it
did
by...
this before,
you can. Exactly. You can still make something of her if it's sat behind a desk or staying in London.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it by taking her to every location.
I agree. Good.
100% agree.
We get back to Elektra's gorgeous villa. Is it in Istanbul, near Istanbul?
Baku, is it?
Maiden's Tower.
Maiden's Tower is in Istanbul, isn't it?
Yeah, we're not there yet. We're in Baku, I think. Again. Still Baku. We're back in Baku.
The set dressing between Maiden's Tower and Baku is quite similar.
Yeah.
It might be a slight...
Does confuse a little bit, because I didn't know that she didn't live in Maiden's Tower until this last
week. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah.
We do get Gabor easily disposed of off screen.
Is that him? Showing, I thought he came later. I'm sure.
He's there. You see him on the floor.
Yeah, I thought
he's
that was
he's
him.
He's been knocked out.
No, okay, yeah.
Oh, he's just knocked out.
Killed. Oh, right, okay.
No, he's knocked out.
I thought that again. That was a bit hard.
He's killed later, very easily.
He's no good.
I mean, just on a par with that, it's no wonder that the poor girl got kidnapped in the first place when you've got people as useless as Gabor as your bodyguard and Davidoff as your head of security.
He's getting more airtime than he needs. Goodness.
Miss King.
Give it a rest.
I mean, the first line he says is, Miss King, I thought I told you to stay. I know what you told me. I mean, hey, what a top head of security you are, pal.
I mean, you're doing a grand job, mate.
Oh, my word.
You'll be scarping any day.
I know what you told me.
Wait!
Scarping. Shout out
to one of the big dogs.
Oh, absolutely. King of Twitter. Yeah, so Bond's obviously very suspicious of Elektra at this point, and we get the gorgeous plant and payoff, don't we, of the catchphrase. And who wants to have a run of it first? Who wants to Rob, do you want to have a go? Yeah.
Because I've been doing it to the children all weekend. They want something, you know. I want something. You know. No. There's no point in living if you can't feel alive.
Very good.
Right, Electra? Is that your motto?
Yeah. Very good.
It's very rude. Very
you were about my shoulder, knew exactly where to hurt me. Yeah,
yeah.
Electra, oh, drop the act. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's very late 90s game show host. I mean, I still love it all. Yeah.
Rest
it's
in
quite
peace.
Sassy. It's a little.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is sassy, yeah.
For this. Yeah. Isn't that your motto?
But the, again, slightly adult theme, Stockholm Syndrome is sort of explored here, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the link with Daniel Craig. Anyway.
But the way she explains it away is very, very good. And Brosnan's response to that is very, very good. You know, when especially with the talking about the sleeve, you know, the sling. you were wearing a sling to the funeral. You know, like, and his face is brilliant at conveying that confusion. Like, oh hell, I've gone off too early. Yeah,
it's very crisp. A bit of License to Kill. Because she sort of gets annoyed with Bond and shuts the doors like Pam Bouvier and sort of storms into the next room. Which is, yeah. Okay. You used me as bait. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Sorry, have you just seen Harry's message?
Oh, hey.
This has to stay in, John. This has to stay
in. It has to stay in.
Can you read it out? Yes, please. Rob, you read it.
Well, no, John, you brought this to our attention, please.
So Matthew shouting, "Electra, drop the act," has just set off Alexa in the next room.
Children woken up by Brosnan again.
Yeah. Children found.
Children found, yeah.
Children found by Alexa, courtesy of Brosnan.
Yeah, right. So sorry, I need to keep my voice down, don't I?
Well... That's what's Pierce.
Really 007 is part of the Pod Dojo Network.
Well, M is there now at the Pipeline headquarters. Is it Pipeline Math? They're about to go on the ride anyway, aren't they? The Alton Towers experience, the gorgeous Pipeline ride.
The black hole.
Yes. Very good. Sounds rude, but no. Bond, to be fair, he does say to M that she shouldn't be there. So again, that's an improvement on Quantum of Solace.
Mm.
So, Christmas Jones is there. Charles Robinson's there. The cast, isn't it? Just the cast party. So
Robinson is particularly absent in this scene. Really? I mean, I know he gets sent out to Robinson's reporting. When? Hang on. That's what's his name? Safin. Not Safin. He's Safin. In the new one. Gabor. Gabor?
Gigi Gabor, yeah. In this, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Robinson's reporting.
Yeah.
Robinson's reporting. I thought, like, you know, when he first... I thought for years that Robinson's reporting was a bit like Reuters, you know, like a news agency. I didn't know it meant flipping Robinson from this film.
Well, if he's behind it, the news will be about 10 weeks late, won't it?
Yes, hopeless.
We're getting a source that Someone Never Dies has just come out. Babyish. So Christmas Jones is there. Would she be there? I know she's sort of the Pipeline expert or something.
No, she's there because it's babyish. Because they need a bomb disposal expert.
Yes, that's
she apparently knows how to do that. So she's there.
Me?
What do I need to defuse a bomb?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Purvis and Wade and me.
Yeah. Slightly less subtle Pipeline scene than in Living Daylights, which is not a subtle scene at all.
It lit up like Christmas tree.
Yeah. Did you?
Sorry, it's gotta go.
Control yourself.
Control yourself, 007. It's not James Bond involved. Yeah. Yeah.
Do they? Again, it's a bit silly. I mean, they're not wearing helmets. These Bond's in a suit. I mean, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? He's going in this byliner. What? No protective gear or anything. He's hurtling down.
It's brilliant.
I love it.
No, it's so bad. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so good.
But, and, you know, just before they... Sorry, John, go ahead.
No, it's just, it's how Brosnan holds it and he poses for the camera when he's holding the... Yeah, like, faster! And he's sounds like Arnie when he says it.
Yeah, yeah.
Faster!
Yeah.
That's all right,
Pierce.
Yeah.
This brings out a slight... You know, like we were talking before about, right, there's an allusion to Tracy's existence in this world.
Yeah.
So that suggests an allusion to the previous activities of previous Bond movies. So when the question is asked, you know, does anyone know how to defuse a nuclear bomb? Bond should have been like, well, me, I've done it loads
of times. Yeah,
yeah.
There's a bomb in there.
I'm literally an old hand at this now.
Yeah.
And then, but no, Christmas is like, no, me.
Yeah.
I can do it. So it's a bit odd.
It needs to, doesn't it?
Again, it's grey. Bond is wearing lovely school shoes while this is happening.
Yes, he is.
So,
he is.
You know, it's grey. It's all lovely. He puts his feet on the Bond, grey pants and school shoes.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Don't get
like
the
it.
Ideas. There's like a very similar sort of to.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Sort of on top of each other, aren't they?
Yeah. I wouldn't think of it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think of it. I'm sure Purvis and Wade are thinking
of it. Oh, that's all they've been bothered about.
Yeah.
You know, again, what do we call them in the... like, not Purvis and Wade, but like Purvis and Butthead.
Yeah, Purvis and Butthead.
Just laughing at each other. Yeah. He'll go on top of it.
Boobies and Wade.
Yeah. Bless them. Yeah. They're legends. We love them. For this film. They've got this film on the CV, so.
Yeah.
Amplicate McLean. Can't stop saying that. Sorry, go on, man.
I always laugh at, you know what, during this bit, I quite like, you know, it's good when there's like their action scene going on as well as at the same time in the control centre or whatever. I always find it quite funny, you know, but obviously it's the reveal and everything of Elektra to M. Where she's like, you know, I've got a gift for you. And it's like, now's not the best time.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, I mean, I'm not a father myself, but I presume it's like a bit like when you're either driving and trying to park the car or something, and suddenly a child in the back tells you that they've, you know, they've got something for you. Or something like, please, can you, not now, you know.
Or like in the interval when I found a pile of poo-soaked rats in the toilet in my own home.
Now's not the time.
You know, I had a second, listeners, to run to the toilet, you know, like while we had an interval before, and found next to the toilet that one of the children, my children, I assume, just, you know, wipe the bum but not put the rags in the toilet, just like neatly piled by the porcelain. I got no idea why.
Like you do.
Where is this going?
I found it, I agree that, Matt, I found this really awkward. You know, and Denshi's great at it. Like,
perhaps
this isn't the time.
Yeah,
you know, it's so like, no, it really isn't the time. And it's awkward that you're even thinking about this. And as a human being, it makes my shoulders like the tension in my shoulders go, oh, that's horrible.
Icky.
Cringing, that's it. Yeah.
It is cringy, yeah.
It's the really icky.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to just quickly go back a bit into where she. I love how Dench says, is the best we've got. Although we never tell him.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love the relationship in this film of Bond and M, because there's a crustiness like there is with like Craig and M, but it's far less of a daughter, mother, son relationship here. It's more of a mutual respect, because actually Bond's right in this film. Bond's right and M's not.
Yeah, he's a good agent.
And,
he's a great agent.
He's a really good agent.
His job.
And I like the dynamics between them. Mm. It's really they're good.
It's very good in it. Yeah, I didn't recognise this for what it was at the time at all. Because it's like we've always said about what comes after this, not necessarily Die Another Day, but it's always, you know, like, come on, James, come on, come on, James, come on, back to work, back to work. Whereas this is these are two absolute peak of their professional prowess, going about their job in the absolute best ability they can do. M is compromised because of her family connection to the Kings. But Bond is being... He's brilliant at his job.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's superb at it.
We probably didn't explore it enough in the M episode, actually. I feel a bit bad that... I think we did mention, obviously, it's been crucial to the plot, but that whole relationship is more, like you say, Rob, seeing it again, it's better explored. And there's much more, yeah, respect, I think, is the word, isn't it? For each other.
Yeah, case in point is when I first saw this film, I thought it was hilarious that Brosnan opened the door and saw, you know, the... Bond!
Well, yeah.
And he opens the door just shoots the lock off and then runs off. I thought I was younger. I thought it was really dismissive. Actually, it's because he's a bloody good agent and he's just carrying on with the job. He's freed one part, so he's got extra hands on deck and now he's up the stairs.
Good on you.
He's not wasted time. Yeah, it's good. It's really, really good. And there's no convoluted nonsense between... I mean, the relationship between Bond and M is so overcooked in what is to come that it's pointless. There's no need for it. And he gets M killed. Let's face it.
Yeah?
He gets her killed.
Oh, Rob. You were not on the Skyfall episode. I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
No, I mean, you haven't heard the rap yet. So
right, okay.
Yeah, Rob, I'm going to add vocals to it.
Yeah, I'm joking.
Vocoder.
It's very positive. Yeah. Although there are a few little lines.
Oh, heck. Right. Like you say, Matt, it's quite nice to have two things going at once, where there's an action and following the action, and there's like a gorgeous little shot of Electro just looking pretty suspicious, just sort of lurking around, not fully concentrating like you'd think she would be, because obviously they've got this bomb ready. M gives her a slap, doesn't she? She basically reveals the sort of plot, doesn't she? Essentially.
Yeah.
Which is, again, it's quite complicated for people like me to understand. But, if I mean, really, did she want the explosion to kill... did she want the explosion to kill M as well?
No, because she's with her.
Right, okay.
It's somewhere else.
No, not this one. The original one.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get the pendant, the brogue, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, at the start.
Yeah.
Possibly. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think she alludes to it, I'm sure, that she was meant to die, really, in that as well. Because she can't stand a dad.
Yes, she was, yeah. They were both supposed to die. That was her hope. When Elektra's duplicity is finally revealed, and she tells Bond, that the ins and outs, whatever. Oh, no, it's the thing, isn't it? It's the little thing.
It's like another plan's payoff,
nonsense.
Isn't it? No, you.
Yeah, she says exactly that. Yeah, I hope you would you were there and died with my father.
Yeah,
yeah.
She does say it.
So she tried to kill them both.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean this one here now. Right. So going back to the comedy bit of this scene, back in the ride. Obviously, that sort of it's quite crisp though how it ends. That they're not on the screen, are they?
Yeah.
They're sort of shown. So it works well for the plot that Bond's MIA. I don't really know whether they care about Christmas Jones or whether anyone looks at them. So that works out quite well because obviously Elektra and then Renard presume he's dead so they can get on with stuff.
Yeah. It's good. And it's good work from Bond again.
Yeah, because it's his idea, isn't it? He realises that they're going to be watching.
Trust me! Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on his A game, isn't
he? He is.
As a spy, he's on his absolute A game.
But then we obviously end the scene with the more famous Razzie winning lines. Do you want to have a run through these, Matt?
Firstly, she says, something like, can you explain that for those of us who don't speak spy?
That's a funny line. That is a good line.
Yeah. And then I also really like... she says, I need to get this back, this plutonium back, or someone's going to have my ass.
Yeah.
First things first. Very funny.
Work. I love it.
It is.
It's brilliant. It's harking back to I'm Plenty, of course you are. It's that same kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in the baby
it's
like
humor.
I like both of those, but then I'm not so keen on... So what's the story between you two?
Yeah, it's a bit pathetic.
I think
a bit sorry for
it's like, well, you're already...
Are you single,
sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, it's like a subtle one.
It's like on The Office when Rachel first appears and Tim's asking the questions like, so you know, did you move? What did you, you know, who did you move across with? And he's she's like, oh, my dad just brought me over. And then he's like, have you got many ties in Swindon or have you, you know, starting again? Like, no, yeah, nothing like that. And then you see Gareth sort of mulling it over and then like, sorry, so have you got a boyfriend or not?
So anyway,
brilliant.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, so I don't know, you don't buy into the relationship. But anyway, we don't need to. It's all good stuff. So we go back to, is it the villa again? Or the tower? Or
no, we're at Maiden's Tower now.
Maiden's Tower. Another ride at Alton Towers, sounds like, doesn't it?
Or a 7th Division football ground.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Cracking away night in the Vanguard Trophy at Maiden's Tower.
it's definitely up there with Gay Meadow, definitely.
Yes.
It's in there.
Now the new.
That's over the road from Maiden's Tower, isn't it?
Yeah. Derby. Yeah.
Is that where Oswestry United play?
Love
the Welsh border. Yeah. So yes, we then get the first sort of real scene of Renard and Elektra reuniting, which is obviously meant to be. The effect of it is slightly nullified because of the ridiculous height difference. I looked. I'm sure Sophie Marceau looked it up, and she's only like 5'5", 5'6" or something. She's not even that tall. Maybe she had heels on or something. Because Robert Carlyle's not that small, is he? He's not 5'2", is he? Can't.
Nah, surely not.
Well, he's 1.73 metres in height, whatever that means, according to Google.
Yeah, it's not.
1.73 in
five,
feet
six?
Is
5'6",
yeah.
He's 5'6". Oh, right, okay, yeah, so.
He is small.
So a little bit smaller than Tom Hardy, the next James. Danny Craig, 5'10". So, yeah. A giant in relative terms to Renard. He would have towered over him. But yeah, it's
being
like...
towered over him.
Their relationship, he's obviously head over heels in love with her.
Yeah.
But are we meant to believe
she's 5'7", by the way.
5'7", oh, okay, so she is slightly taller, yeah.
She's slightly tall.
I would say she's had heels, but she's in a dressing gown, I think, at the time. So I'm not sure that's.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you really think that Elektra fell in love with him as a captor, or do you?
No.
Think,
well,
that was all
I
a ruse.
I don't. Yeah. I.
Because
I think,
the king thing was the main plot point.
I think, and you know, there are echoes of The Dark Knight Rises here that it's.
Oh yeah.
He loves her, but she. She's used him, really. You know.
Yeah.
She's not necessarily in love with him.
No.
And like you know, like in The Dark Knight Rises, when Talia al Ghul, she's really revealed to be
spoiler.
She's saying that Bane's sort of, you know, the thing is that he loved me, and she doesn't say that she loved him in return. And I think it's the same. I think it's the same here.
Yeah. Agree, Math.
Tom Hardy, Link. There you go. To be fair, that was after The World Is Not Enough, unlike Skyfall, which was after.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I'm not in any way saying
no.
It's somehow yeah. But I do think there is that similarity between it, and I think in some ways it's more of a point of the story in this. But I think it's interesting where. You know, you think that there's this terrorist who's a real physical threat and he's awful and everything, when actually he's being directed by a woman who's been manipulating everyone around them.
It's a clever 90s psychological thriller as well as a Bond film.
Yeah. I think it's good. And I think in this scene, in the scenes that they have together, is this the one where... Yeah, it is.
More ice.
I think she... You can see the dynamic here. Like, she's running rings around him, really.
Yeah.
He knows that he's...
He's punching.
Well, he's punching, and, you know, so... He'll do whatever she says.
She absolutely burns him.
Yeah, like, she does.
How would you know?
Yeah.
How would you know? You don't feel anything. And that thing, that line
lover,
there... Yeah. It's like, yeah. I've got to say this now, and she won't be very impressed with me saying this, but my wife, obviously, is Rachel, is struggling with COVID at the moment, and that's a very serious thing. But one of the problems she's had is she's lost her taste and smell. And I have to be honest, I made a horrendous spaghetti bolognese the other day. It just tasted awful. And she just went, "It's fine." And something just clicked me. I went, "How would you know?"
You coward, John.
I just went full on a lecturer on it.
Dear me.
Love it. Love it. Using Bond in marital scenarios is
it's always the way to go.
Yeah.
It's how it's how my brother snagged his wife. I have talked about it.
Not on this episode.
Yeah.
Have I talked about it in another episode?
I think Hots was him.
Yeah.
Because it won't.
Did I?
I've heard it. Yeah.
Oh, the rupee.
Yeah, I've heard it.
No.
Oh.
The handcuffs.
We seem to have grown a certain attachment to each other. No.
No. They. All right. But long story short, him and his future wife, they found themselves attached via handcuffs.
Yeah,
a nightclub.
It's ringing a bell. It's ringing
and
a
she
bell.
Said, "Oh no, what are we going to do now?" And my brother said, in his best Roger Moore, "Well, I can think of one or two."
Yes. It's super.
Yeah.
Married for, yeah.
It's brilliant.
10 years.
Yeah. Plan and payoff.
Yeah. You know, when you find out that he was the guy that organised the handcuffs in the first place.
Oh my word.
Oh,
twist?
No, he did. I don't know that. No. Just embellishing the story.
Yeah. Maiden Sarah, this was.
Yeah.
The football ground, not the. Yeah.
Opposite Gay Meadow.
Yes. Is it a bit babyish that Renard's hideout is one of the big tourist attractions in Istanbul?
Yes, yeah.
No, I'm just being annoyed. No.
I'm trying to land a nuclear submarine. Yeah.
I always
photograph somewhere else.
I think it's pretty crisp. Maiden's Tower. I always
it
think
is
I'd,
very
love
cool.
to, I'd love a Lego set of it.
Oh,
you know, with one of the like an island. You know, one of those things. You can remember the bases that had blue and then a bit of green and then a lovely tower that you could construct. And
yeah.
You know, you'd get the figure of M with it in the prison.
The clock. Obsessed. Yeah, so what? This is sort of going on at the same time as the sort of love scene. I mean, it's only her who's half naked. Renard's still fully clothed. Yeah, so at the same time, M is obviously locked up on, I don't know, the second floor of the lighthouse bit. We then get more of the plot reveal that she hates her father for stealing the business from her mother, so that's something we completely didn't know anything about. Yeah, and then...
Family's legacy.
Family's not, yeah. And then another brief scene, Renard chatting with M, which is his only real interaction with her. And then the clock on the stool. Voila.
Et voila.
I'm obsessed. She's pretty useless, isn't she? The first attempt, she knocks it off. And
yeah.
She does get very, very impressive, though, later.
Yeah, it's good. Use the wits.
Yeah. But we're not there yet. We're now at the caviar factory.
But the image of Judi Dench wrestling with a broom handle to knock an alarm clock over is pretty good.
it's
pretty up there with Fairly Indelible.
have we had where M has an exchange with Renard? Because I think that's a good scene again.
Yes,
I think
that's what I'm saying.
I like that scene, and there's you know, two good actors and decent dialogue, and I know that's the clock and everything, but yeah, I really like that scene.
Yeah, I agree.
There's lots of little scenes that sort of merge into each other, and the pace is pretty good. Then we've got, one of the bigger action scenes in the film at the caviar factory.
Mm. Yes.
It's like, it looks a bit like Zorin's Rig, that sort of place. Can you remember? Where he minces that guy down the thing.
Yeah.
It was fully built at Pinewood, massive set this was. An outdoor water tank area. You think you can?
I do think you can tell.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry.
Pinewood Studio, yeah.
It's so difficult to fill this, though. And I mean, Diamonds Are Forever is the only one that can possibly pull anything like that off.
It's a mad old scene, this, because Coltrane is very good in it, in the sort of bumbling role he's given. But he's given one great, great line, which I think is immortal.
Oh, yeah, really. Yeah.
It's one of the great lines, this. About
amazing.
It's the security, you know. How'd you get in here? I must call my security and congratulate. lads. Yeah. Very good. It's such a good line.
Hey, you wanted to bother to get in there.
It's the cheeky smirk when he says it as well.
Yeah.
Like,
How'd you get?
I'd call security and congratulate them.
He's a happy man by this point.
That's his, you know, his big laugh, which was the one in GoldenEye, of course. The shaking, but the not stirred, you know, with the lads again.
Yeah,
taking the mick out of him, yeah.
1 foot, lads.
Yeah,
Valentine.
Not dance, crucially.
We love it. Yeah, not that. No.
It's very, very good. And again, you know, like Denise is there, and she's
Why is she in a purple dress?
This is why.
The wardrobe is poor, isn't it? Oh, it's just unusual choices.
No, actually, what I like, though, is, and I think it's true to her character of not being a, you know, for being like her own person amid everything that's going on around her, that she's wearing Converse and a denim jacket during this.
Yeah.
So she's got the little outfit for, taking the cracker off guard. And then, she's got the little trainers and the little jacket for the rest of this stuff, which I think is cool. They don't share a single line between them, I don't think.
No.
Christmas and Cracker.
Very good.
Christmas Cracker!
No way.
Outstanding.
We didn't really do that, did we?
Another little line that I love is when Bond comes in and he's got the gun. Gun to the guy. What, you surely don't know it well. But anyway, and then just to the guy, like, get lost.
No, definitely.
Yeah, no. And then he's out the back.
He's so cocky.
That's extremely Bond.
It is.
Yeah. And then you've got smutty Valentine with, I thought you were giving her the business. You know?
Valentine.
Can you just. And the very Bond line before that, can't you just say hello like a normal person?
Very good.
Yeah, it's got all the ingredients. All the ingredients are there.
Anything with Valentine, that's Bond.
Joking apart, listen. Whilst I said that I think you can tell it's on Pinewood, I still really, really enjoy this scene. There's so much to love about this scene.
We get Bullion revealed to be a traitor, so yet another unnecessary.
Yeah,
but it has to be the link, doesn't it, between Zhukovsky and Elektra, I suppose. And again, it's too complicated for me. But anyway, Bond's car must have been parked I don't care. Yeah, who cares? It's there.
I was really happy about the Bond car being used. It's not used massively.
No,
not in a chase.
One of the big problems with GoldenEye, and it's not a problem because I absolutely adore that film, is that you have this gorgeous Z3 where you have Desmond describe all these gadgets and it's never used in a thing.
I think that was partly budgetary, wasn't it? Because there'd been a long time between the films and I think the budget was maxed out.
It's just strange though that they then included the scene
why mentioned
explaining it all and everything. But,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree, John. It's not used that much. It's not used as much as the car in Tomorrow Never Dies.
No.
But it's still nice that it is.
Satisfying.
And then, of course, we get the recall with the tree cutters, which are used to their sinister effect here, which is very crisp. Yeah, it's... And Arnold goes into full Arnold mode with incredible drum beat, really with the Bond theme. Yeah. And you need to be in the right frame of mind to really enjoy it. You know, if you're sort of feeling a bit solemn and stuff, you might not get much. If you're like in a real happy Bond mood, you're gonna love this scene because it just delivers, doesn't it?
The silly bits with the blades coming off and bouncing around and the CGI and nonsense, and not one of them is actually a threat to anybody.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and like Valentin manages to run away without actually running anywhere.
That's so good.
It's he doesn't move. Even roll.
In Cade, the smoothest run you've ever seen. Yeah. Valentin.
I mean, but then you've got, during all this, you've got Bond being an action hero.
Yes.
Saying much. He's just diving some about, kind of capping fools, blowing up helicopters, sending rockets all over the gaff. And he's smashing it up. It's brilliant. This is Bond escapism and Bond heroism. It's absolute finest. This is why we're in this. This is why we're playing it. Fair enough, there's the odd misstep, and whether you're going to go with it, you're going to go with it or not. But if you like this sort of thing, and you like... I mean, if you're a fan of the Roger Moore movies, what the hell are you complaining about here?
Absolutely
not. If you didn't like it, I mean,
totally agree.
This is Nirvana.
Yep. Totally agree.
Brilliant, good.
But if you like...
here we go.
You know... we were about to change paint.
Using the remote control to shoot the helicopter, get the car sawed in half, which is quite funny, and it's like, does he have a reference of Q's not gonna like this?
And Valentin smirk as well when he sees it happening is brilliant.
It's a great relationship, him and Valentin, isn't it?
It's
brilliant,
and it's sort of, it's developed, which is what we want.
Well, it's Brosnan's Felix Leiter, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
In a way, a lot of ways.
Yeah, he is. Not Wade.
Although, how good would the scene be where Robbie Coltrane got ate by a shark?
Oh, dear.
Brosnan had to attend, you know.
Well, Bob nearly does a Sanchez to him, doesn't he? Just drops him in the caviar to get him in there.
Yeah.
Bullying.
A shower cream!
Pretty babyish acting from Bullion, like hanging onto the money's face. I mean, he's just, again, looks so pathetic. No.
Yeah, I can't go along.
Can't picture Michael Apted in the rushes, like, what?
I'm going to, you know, I don't like calling anybody out for a negative, but the character of Bull in this movie is a skid stain.
Bull, yeah.
Pointless. Absolutely pointless.
He's got some Adidas trainers on, by the way.
No, but not just pointless, but a negative.
Why is he not just English? Why can't he be Cockney like the actor? Like, why does he have to put on a Russian accent? It's just brilliant, isn't it?
Hey, boss. I'm here to ruin your movie.
What's the problem with my hair?
After you.
One of the best bits is the jump on while the explosion's going on. It's a gorgeous Bond moment, isn't it? Everyone
waves his hand
on the seat.
Jump.
He sells the scene, doesn't he, Brosnan? He's absolutely.
Yeah, he really does.
We've got
there's a lovely CGI running scene.
Yes,
running and behind the
blades,
like,
he's
almost
more CGI than the blades.
The technique is
T-1000.
But even though it might be CGI, it doesn't distract.
No, you're right.
You're like 3 years on, you've got...
What?
Well,
no,
you've got nightmarish CGI.
The Halle Berry jump's worse than the windsurfing, I think.
I think there's so much. I tend to agree with you, Tom, actually.
They're both tire bombs.
So distracting.
It's horrendous. Yeah. And yet here, 3 years earlier, it's just brilliant. It's superb. How do you regress?
I don't know whether any of it's as bad as your mum is very disappointed in
you.
But it'd be interesting if this was Brosnan's send off. You know, who knows? I don't know whether his legacy. To be fair, I don't think Brosnan is. He's not so much. His reputation as Bond wasn't ruined, I don't think, by Dying of the Day. But it might.
In general, though, the third films of any single Bond actor is pretty much their best performance. You could argue Daniel Craig's is probably Casino Royale over Skyfall, but you think Goldfinger for Sean, it's not my personal favourite, but it's great. Yeah. You've got Spy Who Loved Me, who's probably peak Roger, and then you've got this for Piers. It seems to be the pinnacle three. It seems like they're comfortable in the role, isn't it, that they can do that. And in general, the fourth is usually the weakest out of their performances. Apart from, not for Sean and Roger,
but certainly for Daniel, and unfortunately Pierce as well.
We'll discuss where it rates among the not just Pierce's films, but the whole canon. My word, absolutely can't wait for this. But yeah, so we've got the drowning in caviar, which is pretty crisp, and Bond again,
yeah,
working it out, detective work. He's good at his job, yeah. Even though Sikorsky's his friend. Yeah. Too complicated for me as a child, but you know, it's great. Skip the talk.
Sour cream.
Yeah, we then get to the end of Taken 2, the same sort of finale. Haven't seen that. Set here in Istanbul, in the safe house.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous. I mean, let's discuss the clothes of Pierce Brosnan here.
Oh, my word.
Go on. Yes. Rob, do you want to take it? You're the costume designer.
You're the costume.
He looks like... We're talking about the beige suit, open neck, blue shirt.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
Oh,
absolutely. Baby blue.
So, yeah. I mean, and the brown brogues with a buckle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. So, I love that everyone's like, whoa. For me, during this, it's like, I love the idea that he's like, you know what, today, in the world, I'm going to dress like a... a geography teacher on a trip out to sunny Malham, I think. Because I know
the limestone.
We've got a good forecast, and I'm not going to wear a tie because you know it's going to be nice, and we're on a day
it's
out,
a casual day. Yeah,
it's the most fascinating decision to wear this outfit for an end confrontation. I love all of it. The fact that it's happened, I love it.
A lot of people, when somebody wears a suit like this, they say, you know, the man from Del Monte, which does remind me of an incident at school where there was a guy in my class called James Freeman, and he was in a production of As You Like It, and his costume for that was a beige suit. So he wore it to school. Like, as in, you know, for some reason he wore it, and he came into the classroom when our form teacher was there, and he was like, he's got an absolute cheek, I just can't believe it, I'm absolutely livid, like, really, this is a disgrace. And so the teacher, Dr. Holland, was like, oh, what's the matter, James? And he said, James Rich, Mr. Rich, who's a big Bond fan, actually, said, has just called me the man from Del Monte. Dr. Holland, like,
yeah, try not to laugh.
Just laugh. So anyway, yeah. So it reminds me of that, the man from Del Monte. But it's such a gorgeous outfit. And it's really, like, you know, iconic for this. As soon as you see him in that, you think, yeah, world is not enough. Do you know what I mean? It's not like it merges into
that
one.
That is what this has got, the edge. This is why this elevates it beyond being funny. It's because it's dead iconic.
Yeah.
Particularly the dive bit. You know when he takes the jacket off?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he tucks the gun in and dives in the blue shirt. Yeah. That's very cool.
I have to say, sorry. No, go on, John.
No, go for it, Mark. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, sorry, it's away from the costume, so I don't know if you want to...
Yeah, no, mine's costumes.
Yeah, so
sorry,
you go for it.
The thing with... I'm very much a fitted suit kind of guy, and I think that Bond looks good when he has a fitted suit. Yeah, but when it's black, there is a beige or cream suit has to be baggy.
Yes.
If you look at Pierce in this, but look at Timothy Dalton in The Living Daylights in Tangier as well. A baggy beige suit really works. And then we've all discussed about in No Time to Die preview, Craig's tight-fitted beige suit just looks awkward.
Yeah.
You have to, when you go beige, you have to go baggy. It's the number one rule.
Tick time is 6 minutes. 6 minutes. Check.
Now it's just because of the sort of whole physique of Craig, they want to emphasise it. He's never going to wear anything baggy, is he, really? Apart from those khaki pants, he does going up that crane in Casino Royale, maybe. But that isn't a suit, technically, is it? I think we tried to copy in our Bond math. I'm sure we tried to copy this outfit. We definitely had a blue not dark blue shirts and beige trousers or white trousers. I can remember you, Math, as Bond, wearing pretty much the same outfit, I think.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Clutch. This is what we're aiming for, even though...
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if we quite knew it or...
Blinded by the light.
I was just going to say, just to sort of move on from the thing, I think the set here is gorgeous. The it's quite, you know, echoes of The Spy Who Loved Me, but the way that the sub can fit into that space is really nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
I like it. It's so like Bond. It's incredibly...
I'm confused where the space is, though. That's the thing, because it looks very dark.
Yeah, is it at Maiden's Tower, that, or is that somewhere else?
Well, just thinking of it like position in a plot sense, where that is, because, you know, when Bond steps out of Maiden's Tower and lobs himself off in a bit, he's at the sub, isn't he? Like, straight away.
Oh, yeah.
So the inference is the sub is at the bottom of Maiden's Tower, but when Renard and Elektra are talking and when Renard's welcoming the men onto Thingy, it's notably very dark and feels very interior.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like they're some in a Stromberg base. Sort of Tabasco.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very crisp line from Renard. Some brandy and refreshments.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's quite crucial.
A nice guy. Yeah, it is crucial.
Yeah.
The underwater scenes were filmed in the Bahamas.
Whoa!
What?
Think about it, going all that way. Presumably because the water's so blue, it's a lot easier to film, isn't it?
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
It's time for you to die, I've written down. I think, I can't remember who says that line.
I think Elektra to M when she asks her that. What's the time?
Because of the clock. You know. What's the clock?
What's the time?
And Gabor's outfit I've got here was really funny, but I can't remember whether it's like a sort of really skin tight purple almost t-shirt or top. I can't remember with like the gun holster over the top. I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
showing off
noted.
The full Vulcan.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous.
We've got to get to... I'm salivating to get to the bit where Bond is chucked in the flipping thing. And he's got... You know, he's got his neck locked in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah, we're not
I'm so excited.
We can race ahead. We can race ahead.
The only thing I was going to... We do see the sort of M doing a little Richie Rich type, you know, when he's dead, found type.
Yeah,
you know,
located.
It's quite crisp. Signal into the safe house, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good that, yeah. And then, right, Math, you might have to wake up everybody in the house if you want to shout. Brosnan.
I'll have to do it quietly.
Or maybe someone else will have to do it.
Yeah, can I try it quietly?
You can.
Bomb!
Sorry, what did you say?
A bomb!
You know, it's not. Like, there's a bomb in there! Just bomb. Yeah. It's a bomb. Brilliant.
Oh, so good.
Zukovsky presumably killed, we thought. I don't know.
You think so, don't you?
You think so, don't you?
You do think so. Yeah.
Bullions, reveals his defection.
Yeah.
he's not quite dead yet, though. He gets away with it for a bit. Yeah, so Bond and Jones are captured. And then another absolutely amazing dress from Elektra.
Yeah.
Perhaps the most iconic.
So
a sort of. What's the word? This is so sad now, isn't it? Oh, dear, I should know this.
Elegant?
No. The type of dress, the cutaway.
Oh, right, sorry, no.
The cutaway between the purple and the... Oh, dear. I'll be kicking myself.
I don't know. I always, like, growing up, remembered the fact that, like, is that something I shouldn't be able to see?
Yeah.
There.
Like, oops, I think I tried to look again. You know, yeah.
Is that a thing? You know, that kind of...
Hint of a bosom.
Yeah.
So,
Michael Bolton's new greatest hits album.
Yeah.
Hint of a bosom.
He needs to do a Bond song, doesn't he?
can you imagine? The greatest boob! I don't think that will fly.
It can't go. Right. I'm only getting a French Google of the dress. So it's
French girl.
It's really not helping.
But anyway. this is like up in the top gaff of Maiden's Tower, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And or the sort of like the semi-top gaff, because it's like an anteroom, isn't it? Where this torture device is set up.
Yeah. It's really good.
It's not the main event.
She
it's
just snogged Renard before she.
Oh yes, she says.
Yeah. Renard's crying.
Says a goodbye.
Face. It's a bit harrowing.
Yeah.
She just,
Renard's becoming a bit of a teddy bear by this point.
He is.
He's pointless. He's absolutely pointless.
There's a lot of facial expressions that he pulls that he looks very soft in them by now. He's had a personality transplant by this point, Renard.
He's like, I don't mean anything. I'm nothing. I'm no point. There's
you
no
meant
reason
nothing
I'm here.
To me.
Yeah. He's just it's a bit wet. Yeah, he's killed so many people. I'm calling him a
poor
bit
Renard.
Wet. Where's your backbone, Renard?
Really, Douglas.
That's the end of part four, but join us for the fifth and final part, where we talk Elektra and S&M, Bond completing his mission, and how we rate the film overall in the 007 franchise.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.